Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime building and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone who yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So open your heart, open your mind, and be ready to receive what is possible from your friend, the Yes Coach.
Good evening and welcome to my show. I'm your hostess, Pam Heath, and I'm the Yes Coach. And every week on Thursday night, I speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life by design. I'm a life coach and a business consultant, and I specialize in breaking down the emotional barriers that block you from what you're committed to achieving in life. My background's in personal development, and I have spent years focusing on leading impactful transformational programs, and I can work with you to enhance your ability to create an extraordinary life that you absolutely love. So without any further ado, I'm the Yes Coach, and my process I design is the Science of Yes. Welcome to my show. Tonight, I have a very, very special treat for you. I have an extraordinary guest here in my studio tonight. We're here to welcome my good friend, Steve Oskard. Now, the thing you want to know about Steve is he's a really extraordinary guy. He's the owner and founder of The Remedy, a body therapy and wellness center that's located in Los Angeles, California. He's a somatic therapist and a body worker, and he's been working with his clients for over 28 years to discover how they hold their life story in their bodies. His work includes body therapy modalities, movement, and a very unique coaching dialogue, which uncovers the limitations that we've created over time and that we can then experience a new sense of freedom and mobility. The primary focus of his work is to have people get that they're a source of their own healing. So I'd like you to take a moment to appreciate and welcome my guest, Steve Oskard. Steve, welcome to my show.
Hey, Pam. So great to be
here.
Steve. I love that musical intro also.
Do you like that? I like that too. That's my favorite song. I tell people about that all the time. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Oh, yeah, you told me about it. Now I remember. I've forgotten that you told me, but I love the song, even forgetting that you told me that was the song you used to intro.
Yes.
Well, we go back a long way, over 20 years, and, you know, we met doing transformational work. So, you know, I'm so excited to be here with you, and thank you so much for the invitation.
You're quite welcome. I couldn't wait to have you on my show because you proposed something really unique, and I think it fits well into the spiritual work that we do here at the New Age Guild. You propose that people, the illnesses and the pain that's experienced in their body is actually sourced by the kinds of stories that they keep going and keep alive in their lives. Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love the idea that we can be a yes to life, but not only that, but a yes to the things that might normally be uncomfortable, like the symptoms that we have. You know, those are usually the things that we kind of veer away from and we wish would go away. And we try whatever we can to alleviate them. And, you know, when I first started doing healing work, it was really about the physical. People would come in the door and they'd say, my shoulder hurts, fix my shoulder. And I'd start to work on their shoulder. And then a lot of times I would start to notice that there was much more going on. It wasn't just about their shoulder. You know, maybe it was symbolic of something. And especially when we couldn't resolve the issue simply by working with, you know, physical modalities of mobilization and massage and, you know, a whole variety of bodywork techniques, when we weren't getting anywhere, or we reached a plateau or it wasn't moving as I thought it might, I would start to ask questions. I would say, hey, what is this about? What is this connected to? What is the symbolic of? What does this remind you of? And it began this fascinating conversation that was connected to the whole of their life. And, you know, to me, it was such an enriching way to work with people beyond just the touch, which I love working with people and creating mobility. I see a lot of athletes and dancers, and I love doing that work. But it always fascinates me as well when there's, you know, a deeper thing that wants to be touched, a deeper thing that wants to be revealed. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I really love to uncover with people. You know, it could be that our issues are something that we've been dealing with for a long time, or we've told the story over and over again, or we've grieved, or we've cried, or primal screamed, or punched punching bags, or whatever it was. And some of those things, you know, don't get resolved, and we get triggered by things emotionally, and they manifest physically. So, you know, even though we may have done all kinds of work with some of those deeper wounds, it, you know, and, you know, it seems like we've had some kind of release or relief or a true healing. And I'm sure, no doubt, that in most cases we have, but something keeps coming up about it, and something keeps wanting to be revealed. And if we keep holding those pains, those wounds, as something that we want to get rid of and something that we want to fix so that we don't get triggered anymore, then maybe that's a context that's not the most powerful way to relate to it. Maybe these wounds are really our access points to healing. Maybe that's our greatest way to really transform the deeper issues in our life. And, you know, it's really where I like to touch those places with people.
That sounds completely amazing and fascinating. I'd like to ask you a question about pain. Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously you do body work, and people come to you when they're in pain and when they're dealing with some pain issues. And what I hear you saying, that there are times when some traumatic experience might be the source of that pain, and that in a conversation with them, you can actually help them alleviate that pain, not just by doing body work, but by having a conversation. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the biggest issue around pain is that we don't want to experience it, and rightfully so. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. You know, no, it doesn't.
We stub our toe, and what's the first thing we do is we want to recoil. We want to, you know, pull away from that experience. And, you know, a part of the process of touching people's areas where they're experiencing pain, part of that process is allowing them to let themselves feel. And, you know, the original incident, wherever they, you know, stub your toe, have an accident or an injury, that recoiling, that contraction in our body, if we don't discharge that energy, if we don't release it, then we're going to hold the body in everything from a mildly contracted state to something more severe, where I see people all the time, they can't turn their heads, you know, or something happens and their body's in this real state of contraction. And simply by having a conversation about it, it's a great starting point to let yourself feel what you couldn't let yourself feel when the body originally contracted.
So I'm going to ask you another question before I open up the lines for questions from our audience. And I know a lot of the women in the audience are going to hold their breath when I ask you this. But about the kind of emotional pain that you feel, like, for instance, when you break up with a significant other, or when you're betrayed or upset in an emotional context and it shows up in a physical form? Would a conversation make a difference in that situation?
Well, yes, I think a conversation can make as much of a difference as actually releasing, you know, you experience pain like that. And I will say that it's not limited to the female gender. I know you said something about women, you know, being touched by that question, but, you know, we feel too, men. And in fact, I think, you know, in many ways, culturally, we're encouraged to not feel. You know, guys got to be tough, and I don't think that's specific to gender either. I think we tend to toughen up around things, that we don't want to let ourselves feel. And when we actually can begin to acknowledge that, then, you know, you can let that release. I find sometimes people might come in with a physical pain and they're not ready to be touched. You know, they need to talk about it. They need to discharge some of the energy or some of the fear or anxiety that they've been holding around it. Could have been around the experience of what happened when it happened, whether it was an accident or, like you said, a breakup. Something really emotionally challenging for us can cause contraction in our bodies. We tuck it away somewhere so we don't have to, you know, actually feel that thing that we don't want to feel. What would it be like if we could get triggered by something or feel something and start to get curious instead of bracing ourselves from impending pain? What if we could open and be curious instead of contracting and resisting, and maybe just say, hey, oh, there's that trigger again. There's that thing. Let me lean into it. Let me feel curious. Let me be fascinated by this. What is this a reminder of?
Yes. So we're on the air live with Steve Oskard, the owner and founder of The Remedy, who does some amazing work with body work and having you give access to your own healing by dealing with the emotional upsets that bring about this pain. If you want to ask questions, you can call in at our number 323-642-1207. We have a caller on the line waiting here now. I'm going to open up the line. And if you have a question, hi, good evening. You're on live with Steve Oskard. Who's this?
Hi, this is Katie.
Hi, Katie. Welcome
hi, Katie.
To the show. Katie, did hi. You want to ask a question? Yes.
So does he, what is he's into energy and healing. Is that what I'm listening, hearing?
And what he's saying is that a lot of time when you have issues in your body, it's because mm-hmm. of some issues have that you're not releasing emotionally from some past event that he can help you do. Do you want to ask him a question? Because according
sure.
to what I'm saying, he's blowing my mind here. Because what he is saying that you can access this power in a communication, a dialogue.
With your body?
I mean, you go, boy.
Okay, sure.
throw it at him. Let's see what it is.
Now, I know this may sound superficial, but it's not. So, okay. So I used to have a flat stomach, right?
Uh-huh.
And a big butt, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
Was
I proud of that? I enjoyed it, but I covered it up. I always wear like a something covering my butt or something. I mean, I did like mm-hmm. it. I definitely don't like not having one.
Okay.
I'm not. This is not me. I'm like, whose body am I in? So I have fibroids, and I recently got them removed. But my stomach was got really, really big. Like I guess in the last 2 years or something, it just got huge out of nowhere, and I look mm-hmm. pregnant. So mm-hmm. I got the fibroids out, but I still have this stomach, and my shape mm-hmm. haven't. My stomach hasn't. The fat haven't gone back to where it's supposed to be in my butt.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in my stomach, and I don't feel it. Just I don't feel like myself. I feel like I don't know. I feel like it's like an out of body experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if I'm going to have surgery to get, or like lipo or something to get my shape back. I don't know what to do.
Hmm. Well, I think that's, first of all, you said it might sound superficial, but it's not. I agree. It's not superficial at all. I think what we think of ourselves is so important. You know, we deserve to have a body that we love. And might as well start with the body we've got.
Right.
You don't have that one that you had before.
I don't know if something happened with the fibroids and my fat.
Yeah.
It goes there now. Or it was taking my nutrients or something like that. I don't know.
Well, you know, whatever you choose to do medically, you know, and mm-hmm. consulting with doctors is one thing, but what you do with how you care for your body, how you love your body, how you care mm-hmm. about yourself, is really the best starting point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't say that we could have a conversation and all of a sudden, presto, you'll have a flat stomach again. If
right.
I had that kind of magic, I would, you know, I'd be exhausted because people would be calling all the time. And, you know, it's not about having, you know, an ideal body, like the body that we wish we had. It's about loving
right.
the body you've got and really appreciating your body and dealing with the way that it is right now, which includes maybe being embarrassed or ashamed about certain things, you know, or
uh-huh.
being sad or disappointed that there's been this change and dealing with not being proud of it or not loving it, so that you can get to this place where, hey, this is what I've got. This is my life. This is my body. We only got one. We only get one this time around. At least,
right.
at least as far as I know. And, you know, certainly with science nowadays, they can do all kinds of great things. But if you're doing those things like plastic surgery or anything like that to fix something about
mm-hmm.
you that you don't love, rather than to enhance something that you already do love, then you're starting in a place that, you know, is really not empowered to begin with. Like, you could begin looking at, how can I love my body just the way it is right now?
No, it's not that I don't love it. I just want it. It's not that I don't love it. It's just that I want my shape back. And,
yeah.
you know, I had a health issue, and it changed my shape,
mm-hmm.
and I just want my shape
yeah.
back. So, as a matter of fact, I don't care if I have a stomach. I just want my butt back. the stomach is the problem. I need my butt back.
Yeah.
So I'm just not used to this. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have an issue gaining weight. Like, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's difficult for me to gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Hmm. Well, where would you? Where could you start?
Well, I got a gym membership.
Awesome. See, if you started working out at the gym, even if you didn't get your butt back, wouldn't that enhance your life?
Yeah, it would. No, I have been working out, and I enjoy it. I do enjoy working out. I forgot it's painful after, like, the next
yeah.
day. I was like, I totally forgot. But no,
it's
I was just happy that my energy was up, that I had my energy back to work out.
Yeah.
Because the fibers had took my energy. So I was like, oh, wow, I could work out again. So that, you know, that felt nice.
That's great. So you're already engaged with your body in a way that, you know, is improving your whole life. And it feels
right.
good.
So what are you talking about you talk to your body? So what do I tell my body what I want?
Well, here's the tricky part, is
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to find a solution for something,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're coming from a place of there's something broken or something missing or something wrong, rather than, you know, this is your body. This is it right now. You don't have the butt that you used to have. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about butts, right?
No, that's probably like the number one surgery in the country. I'm telling you, it's
awesome.
It's the number one procedure in the country.
I believe it. But you know what? We got to have a sense of humor, too, because we can't laugh
right,
at
right,
ourselves.
Right.
We're in trouble. But my dear friend Pam invited me to be on her podcast, and we're talking about butts. This is hysterical. But like you said, it's not superficial. It's important because the way we look at ourselves, what we want for our bodies. You know, I wish I was taller and better looking. But I'm the way that I am. You know, I'm the way that I am. And, you know, if I can embrace that, and the time to embrace it is the time that I judge myself. How quickly I can get from judging myself to embracing what I've got and honoring and loving who I am right now. You know, if you're at the gym trying to get back the butt that you had, and fix something, then you're wishing for something that isn't. Rather than like, really, hey, I love working out because it feels so good. And you're going to see results. You're going to feel results. You've already said you feel results.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like if
You're saying it's like about changing your attitude, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Positive of your life.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm hating my body. I'm just saying this, I like the other one. That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, I get that you don't hate it. And that's the real, that's the subtle way that embarrassment or shame or disappointment works. It's kind of lurking in the background. Like the subtle way of like wishing it was different is not nearly as dramatic as hating it the way it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't hate my body, no way, but I just wish it was, wishing it was different is still in the same realm of, I'm not accepting it the way it is. I'm not loving it the way that it is. And, I don't have a formula for that. I think, part of it is feeling the deeper angst or frustration that how much you wish it was that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
then what happens after you go into that state? You just accept it, I guess?
I don't know. I think it's different for everybody. But I think, if we're really subtle with it, we kind of dilute the grief or sadness or whatever might have been associated with it from the whole experience of, this was probably no walk in the park having those fibroids removed.
No, it
was probably
wasn't.
Scary.
It was scary. It was hell, but I healed really quickly. That's what I said when I went to the gym. I waited 6 months, and I was like, wow, I could work out again.
Yeah.
So I was just happy I was able to do it and still had energy.
Yeah.
But
awesome.
I'll pray on it, and, I'll work it out, and if I get the money, I'm not against LIFO.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it either.
Yeah, just come from a place of really being, you, loving you.
Right.
And, there's nothing wrong with enhancing your body with science.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, that was really incredible, Steve. The thing that I thought it was interesting that you were working with Katie and she was having a conversation about something she didn't like about where her body was at. And I think it was interesting that one of the things you pointed to was that I like how the whole conversation about not resisting where it's at, like there's nothing wrong with where you're at. It's where you're at is where you're at. And if there's some place you want to be other than where you're at, there's actions you can take about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was really powerful because for me, in listening to her, I totally get it, by the way. I turned last year, and I remember this whole thought about all the things that are happening to my body that I have no control over. It's not like I get to wake up in the morning and say, don't do that. My body does what it does, and I'm at an age where there's little weird things going on. And I just thought it was interesting that you were pointing to not resisting where you're at.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that a little more? I mean, I think there's other people that were listening to your interaction with Katie that might have that thought. I mean, I totally got where she was coming from. I want my butt back. There's a lot of things I want back that I lost when I passed that threshold of 60.
Yeah.
And could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. It's so funny because acceptance is this, become this buzzword that, it's not become, it's been for so long. Like I just need to accept myself the way, but there's sometimes this subtle resignation in the background when we say, I just need to accept myself the way that I am. it's kind of like, can you simultaneously hold a vision for what you want? Like, you know, we can do so much to transform our bodies by exercise, so much, and diet, all those things that we can do to shape and sculpt ourselves and create a body that we love as a creation. And at the same time, dealing with the parts that have us paralyzed or have our foot nailed to the floor, so to speak. Like, we want one thing, but we keep eating the, you know, junk food, or, you know, we want that great body, but we keep skipping the gym. You know, there's that subtle resignation where, you know, we just say, I accept things the way they are. Oh, well, rather than, yeah, this is the way it is right now. And I have so many resources available to me to actually play, you know, create my body and experiment. You know, what would it be like if I trained, you know, in this, you know, there's so many trainers, so many workout programs. You know, if we come from this place of, I want to fix something, or I want to, you know, look like a model, then we're already limiting ourselves to what we can experience. So I think acceptance has kind of got this funny sense of resignation to it at the same, you know, like you're giving up having a body that you love, or you're giving up having it be a certain way. Whereas, you know, if you just start there, you just start exactly where we are, then we can actually have some fun.
Yeah.
Because I know you, and I know you love to laugh.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, if we don't laugh, we're screwed.
Yep, exactly. I think for me, the thing that makes it so intriguing what you're suggesting is that the biggest breakdown for me around my body is that there are things that are out of my control is how it occurs.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, for instance, lately I've been having this pain in my fingers, which I suspect is the onset of arthritis.
Mm.
And it bugs the heck out of me that out of the clear blue sky, suddenly there's this sharp pain, and I don't know what it is.
Mm. Well, that's a great place to start. And then, you know, one of the things, like I said, we have so many resources. What if you went to someone who could partner with you in discovering that?
Well, that would be awesome.
You know, like somebody, so, you know, normally, even with holistic practitioners, we go to them to fix us. But that's not the whole point of holistic healers. Really, a holistic healer is all about, you know, partnering with us, empowering us to discover our bodies. And, you know, if you go to an acupuncturist or a massage therapist or a chiropractor or a body worker, and you go to them and say, this is broken or this is hurting, you know, a lot of times they'll just, and I've done this too, and I do this a lot, where I just say, okay, well, why don't we get on the table and we see what we can find physically. And sometimes it resolves itself really easily, kind of addressing it in the physical realm. And then sometimes it's about moving in a new way, experimenting, exploring some kind of exercise. Again, which there's so many exercises available to us. When people say, what's the right kind of exercise I should do? I said, well, do the one you love. No, for my body, what should I be doing? The one you love, because that's the one you're going to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, I like to dance. Great, dance. Should I get more cardio? I don't know. What does your body tell you? You know, should I lift weights? Maybe. I do what you love, and also give yourself the opportunity to explore. And also work with someone who will work with you that way. You know, you have something in your fingers. Well, I have a little bit of experience with that, and I might start thinking, oh, well, what's happening with your neck? Is it referring pain from down into your hands? So, you know, work with someone who can explore that. And like I said, sometimes you find someone who will say, oh, that's just this, and then they'll resolve it really easily. And sometimes there might be more work to do, more inner exploration. And, you know, there's a rich opportunity.
Yes, it is. It's an opportunity. And I think the thing that that I'm most intrigued by is this whole, you can hear it in your voice, this calmness, this serenity around pain in your body. And it's not it's not complicated. It's not at all. You're not you're not bothered by, you know, what's going on with people and what they're saying about their experience of their body, which I think is really
Yes. To me, it's like that's like our starting point. That's intriguing. Oh, fascinating. Who was it in? I know you're a Trekkie. Who was it in? Who was it in Star Trek? Fascinating. Was that Spock? Well, I thought that was thought that was the doctor. But you know, it's like I'm intrigued. I had this client. What's that?
I said, for Star Trek, come to me.
Exactly. In fact, that's the same, you know, it's funny that we say that because, yeah, I know that if I want to have a conversation that's completely fascinating and intriguing to you, I bring up Star Trek.
Well, you want to have
exactly. You want to be in an intriguing, fascinating conversation with me. Tell me about your aches and pains. I'll suddenly get interested. Especially tell me about the ones – tell me about the ones where you've tried everything. I get, it's like a puzzle. But I love what you said also about how easy it is for me. It's not a problem for me. And it's so funny. I had a client come in today, and she's first time, we'd never met before. And as she was leaving, she said, you know, I really appreciate this. You're so normal. Really? You know, somebody walks into my office and says, hey, come on back. And we walk right back to the treatment room and we start talking. I'm regular folks. And I think that in some regards, we look to healers and teachers to be some kind of authority. And I want to break down that wall with my clients so that they know, hey, let's work together on this. You know, between the two of us, we can definitely sort this out.
Yeah, and I think that it's true what you say, that it's amazing that you know, the word she used was normal, but for me it's just, there's just calmness there, and this matter-of-factness. And for us who are seeking healing, a lot of times in our minds it's very, very dramatic and complicated. And then when you come to someone like you, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, well, great. And it kind of diffuses this whole thing we create around it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I really appreciate that, because now I can see where I haven't done that. Like if I get where I'm with a client and we're in this sticky spot and we haven't resolved something, although I'm still fascinated, I realize, oh, that's what I forgot to bring to that relationship. Every person who walks in the door, it's a unique opportunity to be connected, a new relationship.
Mm.
And I see, yeah, there's all kinds of things where I'm able to create that, and questions I ask, and ways of being curious. And then when you just pointed to that, I thought, oh, there's some people who we've kind of hit a plateau where I stopped doing that. I got stuck.
Mm.
So thanks for reflecting that back.
Well, yeah, it's part of the reason why every week I speak about this energy that the universe resonates at. I call yes. And inside of your conversation around healing and well-being, there's also this energy that resonates. And I say that you tap into it. And when we meet people who are tapped into the energy of the universe, it resonates. You don't even have to have skepticism or doubt.
Mm.
It resonates, and you recognize it. And that's part of why I asked you to be on the show, because I firmly believe what you are saying, that our bodily aches and pains, our illnesses, our discomfort is oftentimes connected to an emotional trauma or something that happened in the past that we're holding on to and don't know what we're holding on to it. And I know many examples. I have two personal examples of people I knew. They went to a doctor. The doctor told them, well, you have this illness and you have 3 months to live and 3 months to the day. After they were told that, they dropped.
Wow.
And it's amazing what you can do in your mind to create a reaction in your body.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think part of it, where I come from also, is really making it safe for people to say the things that they can't say or haven't been able to say. And, you know, especially when I work with people remotely, you know, when I'm just, we're not doing the hands-on part of the sessions that I do. We're just doing work by phone or Skype or something, and I'm just coaching them to get in touch with themselves. It's really, what am I willing to hear? Can I hear anything? And if I make it safe for them to say those things that they're ashamed of or afraid to say, or those places in their life where they really got stuck, and maybe it was something simple, and what they're ashamed about is it doesn't seem real dramatic, and yet now they're stuck. But if I, you know, if I keep working on making it safe for people to say those unsayable things, that's a great foundation to start with.
It sounds like it. It really does.
And I think, you know, for myself, and I'm sure you would agree with this too, is that I have to keep working on myself. My own areas where I've been embarrassed or ashamed or shut down. And I'll tell you, when I can laugh at myself, whew, the whole world shifts.
Yes, I found that to be the truth too. But inside of this spiritual connection, I find that the more we can take responsibility for our own experience, our bodily experience, and our you know, spiritual connection and spiritual experience, the more we can heal ourselves. I'm a big believer that we can heal ourselves.
Yeah.
And I like what you said earlier. I think it was brilliant when you said that those of you who are holistic and spiritual healers are actually partnering with the person who is a request for the services. It's not like you have something that they don't have. You're actually giving them access to what they have available to them as a partner would.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely.
It's like a symbiotic relationship between you and that person. It's really, it's mind blowing. My mind is blown. It reminds me of that scene from The Kingsman. You know, that last scene where everybody's mind was being blown. Because for me, that's what it was like hearing you talk about the access that you have when you take this on. That in a conversation, a dialogue with a partner who is supporting you, you can access your own power to heal yourself.
Yeah. Well, here's something that you just kind of reminded me of, this thing I was thinking. I don't think I've ever talked about this before. But when you talk about spirit doesn't have a fixed point of view about our symptoms.
Mm.
Spirit doesn't think I shouldn't have cancer or some pain, or I shouldn't have broken my leg. Spirit doesn't sit back and judge that. God, whatever you relate to or connect with, isn't, you know, and I think many people, and I grew up this way too, not by any strong religious background, but we have this idea that God or spirit is the puppeteer pulling the marionette strings and, you know, kind of guiding our lives. But I don't know if that's it. I don't think that's so. I think we have experiences, and God or spirit or whatever you call your connection to the eternal doesn't have a fixed idea of how you should be or shouldn't be.
Mm.
People die and people live, and we have the experience that we have. You know, and it's really challenging. Like, we pray to God to heal us. Well, maybe God, you know, doesn't do that sort of work. Maybe that's up to us, you know, like if we keep looking like this is my access to living a gorgeous life. This pain right here, right now. This shame, this embarrassment, this disease, this whatever it is my access.
Wow.
This is it. I know. So uncomfortable to think that, right?
Well, and you know, you talk about resistance. You know, the resistance is there to think that this pain is needed for some reason. Like, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, that there's like when you look at the movie Minority Report, and the girl, when she was taking, you know, Tom Cruise running around, every single action they took, part of a domino effect to get them where they were going. And yet, by themselves, each action made no sense whatsoever until the whole picture played out, and he could see that everything needed to happen just like that so he could get away.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's what I'm hearing and what you're saying. And it struck me because when we have pain, specifically pain is what I'm talking about. There's emotional stuff like heartbreak. That's one avenue.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, the reality of physical pain. When you've got that crick in your neck and when your my fingers aching and hurting, you know, your first thought is, I don't want this. It's go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it. And you know, I'm a card-carrying professional control freak. So my whole upset around something like that is I have no control over it. I can't wake up and say, okay, be gone, you know. It comes and goes, if you follow, as it will.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the when you said what you said, my first thought, what struck me was, what if it's supposed to be like that?
Yeah.
What if there's a need for me to have that physical sensation right now?
Yeah, you know, part of what you said sounds like almost the opposite of what I was saying, which I see could be absolutely true as well. Like, what if spirit, God, whatever, has nothing to do with it, and it's all an opportunity? And then what if the opposite is true, kind of like what you're hinting at? Like, this was, every moment of this was spiritually divined, you know, that I'm going to live my life and it's been put in my pathway that I'm going to have this illness or disease so that I could have the experience of living life that I need to have. Both could be true.
It's totally, absolutely, both could totally be true. It's amazing. You know, everything happens for a reason. I've had a couple of callers that got on, almost immediately got off again. So this conversation that you and I are having needs to be had, and for some reason, we're not being interrupted. Isn't that amazing? Because I focus on my callers a lot. I'll stop in mid-sentence because I want them to be served.
Yeah.
You know, but right now this conversation is a very important conversation, which is why people who are jumping on jump right back off. Now, I just created a story.
Yeah.
I'm empowered by that story, but the reality
is
we don't know what's going on, but it's kind of like the same thing with pain.
Yeah.
There's an empowering context you can hold it in, and there's a context where you can hold it in like you resist every moment of it.
Yeah, we could be sitting here thinking, oh, everybody dropped off the call because this is a boring conversation.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the one I like. People are in such shock and awe that they don't have anything to say.
They can't even compete. They're like, I bowed out.
I think
you guys.
I think I just mentioned God and people freaked out and hung up.
You know,
who knows?
I have to,
what's that?
I, I have to tell you that there was a moment when I was blown away by something he said, and I almost hung up, and I'm the host. Hold on, I have a caller.
I would have kept talking, I'm sure, because I'm fascinated with myself.
Hold on a second. Oh, hi, you're on the air live with Steve Oscar. Would you like to ask a question?
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
My name is Nisa. My question, yeah, hi, I would like to have more friends. I don't have a lot of friends in my life. On the weekends, I'm usually alone. I know a lot of people, but I just want to find out, like, is it possible for me to have more friends over the weekend where I can do things that I enjoy doing, like with these people? You know, I used to have friends, but they all moved. They all moved, and then new people came, and they moved back. Everyone keeps moving back. Is it a sign for me to move back? Or, I mean, I'm really alone here on the weekend, very lonely. But, you know, I do a lot of things. It's not like I don't do things. I do.
Yeah.
But you know how you want a friend that you can, like, feel good with and do things with, and someone that's worth spending time with, and that's fun, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I really, you know, you're really clear about what you want. I think that's amazing. That's, most people don't know what they want. They go through their life thinking, what do I want? And, you know, they're unhappy about something and they can't figure out what it is. But what a great place to start. You know that you want to have friends, or, like you said, even one really great friend that you really connect with.
Yeah.
I think,
I just feel a little anxious when I think about someone. I don't want to pressure to do something either. I also need some downtime over the weekend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I have a friend. She comes and goes. She's out of town now. But, like, she used to come in the early morning. We used to have tea, and then she, you know, did something around here. So she came over. She was close by. There was no pressure. It was really like a flow. It had a flow to it that I enjoy. Yeah, I'm looking for someone like that. It's not like someone that you, like, not a Band-Aid, but someone that thinks it's a good fit, you know?
Something that's deep.
That kind of thing.
Really connected. That's awesome.
That's what I want.
Before, right?
Sorry? Yeah, I've had it before, but she comes and goes out of country, so I don't see her sometimes for a month, and then I'm alone again. Not alone, but I'm without a friend. It's not that I feel I'm not alone. I just feel without my family tells me I'm alone because everyone is in Europe and I'm here and they think I'm alone. But it's not that I'm alone. It's that I don't have the friends that I would like to have.
Yeah. Well, you've had that before, so you know that it's possible, yeah?
Yes. I know, I've had it a couple, but it's been, you know, spread out too much in my life.
Yeah. Well, I give you...
I guess there's nothing you can do with the Yes Coach, because I know what I want, so it's going to come.
Well, you could start to play now. How can I find some friends? Or the kind of friend where I feel that kind of really great connection that is fulfilling in a deep way. How can I create that? Where can I create that? There's so much available to us in the internet and groups. And
you don't really have to worry about the how with the universe.
Yeah. And there might be some to-dos. There also might be some to-dos to do. You know, like, what kind of groups and activities do you like to do? I mean, so there could be things like that. But if you could get to this point of being creative and playful about it, you already know what you want, which is a great first step. Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Is there a sense of loss around it? Or any sadness or grief around?
Yes.
Sorry?
There is.
Ah.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, thanks for saying that.
Are you the yes coach or?
Pam is the yes coach.
I'm the yes coach. He's the body worker.
I'm a guest.
I thought I didn't recognize your voice. Yeah, there's grief and loss around it.
Yeah.
There's grief and loss around it. How did you know?
I know that for myself, first of all, I always look through my own life. Like when I feel lonely or have an experience of loneliness, there's other feelings, emotions, and things connected to it. So I just ask from a connection of, how might I feel?
Well, you know what? I just became aware of that there is loss and grief around it. And maybe there's grief and loss around, you know, moving away from my family that I haven't felt before, and that's a big, that's a loss and a grief in it and of itself.
Mm.
You know, I feel like I'm not there all the time, and I just went home, and my parents didn't even come for the full 10 days that I was there. They came for 5 days. You know, that touches my grief deeply.
Mm. Wow.
You know, they don't see me that much. They see me once a year, maybe twice, and they just thought 5 days was enough, you know. That was pretty sad for me, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can't get over that. I almost feel like they don't love me, or they don't know how to love people, you know.
Hmm.
That's how I feel about it, or that's kind of what hurts to say that, but it's like, you know.
Well, you definitely had an expectation or a wish that they would be there for the full time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe they didn't.
Yeah.
Can't seem to get over that one either. You know. I don't think I'm going to go for it this year.
Well, we've been talking. I don't know if you've been on for the whole call, but, you know, we've been talking about letting yourself feel the things that you feel. A lot of times with grief and shame and all kinds of things that are undesirable, we tuck those feelings away. We kind of hide them and sometimes we put them in our body somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I expressed, I have a group that I belong to, a growth group, so to speak. And I expressed this and then someone emailed me and they thought I was, you know, alone, and it was just like it didn't touch at the right spot, you know. It was like, I don't know what her intentions were of contacting me, but it didn't seem like she wanted to be a friend. She just wanted to maybe feel better than me because she wasn't lonely, you know, or something.
Maybe she wanted to rescue you. Some of us do that. We're trying to fix everybody around us.
Yeah. Yeah, try to fix it or something.
But
yeah, I didn't need to fix.
Yeah, you don't need to be fixed. You don't need
to
be rescued.
No, I don't. No, and I think she got that and then she basically left. You know, some people misunderstand my email sometimes.
She wanted to step in and rescue you and you weren't there to be rescued, so she moved on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like to throw a pity party for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really.
I can tell that
it's
about
not,
you.
And everybody had to do this exercise, not just me. But so you are a body worker and you do massage or healing, things like that?
Yeah, and part of what we've been talking about on this call is kind of how I've integrated having a dialogue with my clients. And how we have held things in our body, some of the emotions that get stuck, some of the memories or experiences that get stuck in our body.
Yeah.
So,
and where do you work? I'm in New York, though.
Well, I'm in Los Angeles, so that I can't touch long distance. But I also work with people remotely to kind of uncover the things that are there that we hold on to. And there's lots of resources, and Pam is a fantastic coach as well and might be available to you as well.
Yeah, I know Pam already.
Awesome.
Are I you like a regular her problem? And her sister. I do listen often, and I like her sister too. They're both good quality people.
Good people. That's why I was an immediate yes to the invitation to be on this podcast.
Yeah, well, you're in L.A., darn it.
Well, in New York, you got to have a lot of people around so you can start finding friends right away. Are you in New York City?
Yeah. No, it's not that easy to find friends here. No, it's really not. I've lived here for a while. It's really not easy. I always find friends that are not from America. That are not American. I just find people from Europe or from out of.
Yeah.
So I have to maybe meet more. I don't really want to make any effort. You know, that's like, oh, I want a boyfriend. I'll go out and find one. That's just, it's like a Band-Aid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of like do things that I enjoy doing, which I'm doing right now. And then if it happens, it happens, you know. It doesn't, there's no need to force it. I'm not going to pressure myself and, oh, let's go tonight, 4 o'clock, find a friend. It's so horrible, you know. That's just expecting something to happen that's not going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, you know, if you want a boyfriend. Yeah.
You're creative as well, so you can also come up with fun ways to meet people and not be limited.
I always meet people. I'm fun and I'm everything. Wait, let me get your phone number or what is your phone number first of all?
Why, Pam? Why don't we? Can we give that at the end of the call or something?
Yeah, usually we do that at the end, and we're getting close to the end. We're actually down to the last 2.5 minutes. I'd like for you to say how people, first of all, your website, so they can go and look up your services, and also an email address where they can write to you. I have a lot of listeners on the East Coast and in Canada, and they may want to contact you, especially because you do work remotely. So why don't you go ahead and say your email address and your website. And remember, we're on air, so you might want to say it succinctly and a couple of times.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I will tell you I'm a bad social media person. My website is outdated, so I'm just going to give you my email. That's the best way to reach me. And when I rebuild that website, I'll send people there. But for the time being, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is my first name, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at theremedyonline.com, theremedyonline.com. So that's my email address. And one of the things I love to do with people is just have a free consult over the phone where we just kind of explore what's going on in your life and to see if we'd be a fit to work together. So anyone who wants to reach out to me and connect and enjoy the conversation that we are having today and kind of get, I'm sure you could kind of get a sense of who I am and how I work with people just from being with us today and be more than welcome to have a conversation and that those exploratory sessions are always really valuable. Even if we don't end up working together, it's a way to frame the issues and things that you're dealing with and how you want to grow and expand in your life. So once again, it's Steve, my first name, Steve at theremedyonline.com.
Okay, awesome. So Steve, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. Thank you, Nisa, for calling in. I'm going to take this moment now to remind everybody to please follow our show. When you go on to Blog Talk Radio, a follow is just like a like on Facebook, and it lets Blog Talk Radio know, and it lets us know that you like the material, you like the content, and you want more of it. And the more follows we get, the better our ranking with Blog Talk Radio. So when you go on to Blog Talk Radio and look for The Science of Yes, make sure you follow the show. And again, I'm Pam Heath. I'm the Yes Coach. You can reach me and via my website, which is yescoachforyou.com. Yescoach, the number 4 and the letter U.com, or write to me at Pam Heath at the yescoachforyou.com. I loved having you as my guest. Thank you for being here and good night.
Thanks, Pam.